Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
He's saying if somehow you knew that the thief was going to come at 2 a.m, like they've been casing your house and you've been noticing their car at 2 a.m, you just figure they're going to break in at 2. You'd be ready and waiting for them with your shotgun, or if you don't have one, a baseball bat. Get them when they come in the house. But you don't know when Jesus is coming back. So you need to be ready all the time.
Are you waiting and are you watching for Jesus to return? Many have tried to predict when the rapture will happen, but Jesus told us no one will know when he will return. Only God knows when that will happen. So we must live ready, eyes on the skies, hearts looking to live for him as we wait to be caught up with him in the skies. Here's part 2 of Luke 12, 35 through 48 with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Israel was not a nation for almost 2,000 years. The Bible said that they would be a nation in the last days. They became a nation in 1948. The Bible says that in the last days, God will bring them back from all over the world, from the north, the south, the east, and west, and will bring them back into the land of Israel. In the early 1900s, there was a few thousand Jews in Israel. Today, there are 6 million Jews in Israel. Jesus himself, Jesus the prophet, said, "And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled." So there's this time of the Gentiles, and it's fulfilled when Jerusalem is controlled by Israel. In 1967, Israel took control of Jerusalem for the first time in 2,000 years since it was taken from them by the Romans. They took control of it in 1967. But they gave back the Temple Mount. But something's been happening lately. Do you guys know this? Something's been happening on the Temple Mount. The temple will be rebuilt there because we know that the Antichrist sets himself up as God on the Temple Mount and stops sacrifices. But you know what's happening today? For the first time since the Romans destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD, Jews are going up on the Temple Mount and praying. There's a look the other way policy in Israel right now. And the Palestinians aren't doing anything. You would expect the first time the Jews went up on the Temple Mount to pray that they would have come unglued. If you've ever been to Israel, you've ever been up on top of the Temple Mount. Now, I'm not talking about the West Wall, the Wailing Wall. That's a retaining wall for the temple. The temple was far above it on top. And you can go to Israel and you can go to the Wailing Wall, or you can go up a ramp and you can go on top where the temple was in those days. And you can see that for yourself. And if you've ever been up there, you're followed around by people who, and they'll tell women, "Well, you need to cover up your waist. You need to put on something on your shoulders." And they listen to the guides. And if the guides start to talk about Jesus or something, or the Bible, then they'll come and they'll make a stink about it. And last time I was there, our guide was like, "I wish we didn't have to go up here. It's such a hassle to go up here." Now Jews are going up on the temple and praying. This is a real step. The Euphrates River's drying up. Jews are praying on the Temple Mount. Jesus said, "Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled." Watch and see. Is there anything else going on in the world today that would make you think that this could be the end? He said that wars and rumors of wars and pestilences and raging of seas will all be like birth pains. They're going to be getting worse and worse and worse as the end of the world comes along. Are you watching? Are you aware that the world is fulfilling what the Bible says will happen in the last days? In Ezekiel 38 and 39, there's a war. And there's a coalition of nations, huge coalition, that come against the nation of Israel, and Israel wins. This coalition of nations today is made up, every one of them now hate Israel. Libya's in there, the Sudan is in there, Iran is in there, Russia's in there, Turkey's in there. All of them are sworn enemies of Israel. And the other places that are mentioned in there as well are enemies of Israel. Telling me that just so happened? The Bible says all of these nations are going to come against Israel, and today you look out and all of these nations hate Israel? We're watching, we should be, and going, this war of Gog and Magog may happen sooner than we think because it's coming into place now. And Jesus says, blessed are those who are ready and blessed are those who are watching. Are you waiting? Are you watching? Are you looking around you? Are you just kind of going, well, I'm going to live for Jesus today, not really worry about his return? He says, we need to watch. Then in verse 38, and how do you get from the place where you're watching and waiting to God serving you? The rapture of the church. The church gets taken up into his presence, and now there's the marriage supper of the Lamb, and he's serving us. So then it says in verse 39, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you don't expect. He's saying if somehow you knew that the thief was going to come at 2 a.m, like they've been casing your house, and you've been noticing their car at 2 a.m, you just figure they're going to break in at 2. You'd be ready and waiting for them with your shotgun, or if you don't have one, a baseball bat. Get them when they come in the house. But you don't know when Jesus is coming back. So you need to be ready all the time. If you knew that there's a thief coming to your house, he's going to come to your house sooner or later. You'd have to be ready all the time. You'd be exhausted, or you'd do it in shifts. But that's what Jesus is saying. You need to be ready because you don't know when he's coming back. If it was in the tribulation period, if it was at the end of the tribulation period, we would know it. We'd go, flesh is rare. The abomination of desolation has taken place. All the things Revelation said has happened. Jesus has got to come back now. Men would not be marrying and giving in marriage and all the things the Bible says would be happening during that time. Now, Peter says to him, Peter's confused and no surprise. So Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable to us only or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household and give the portion of the food in due season? Blessed is the servant who the master will find him so doing when he comes. So he's saying, whoever it is, be faithful when he returns, and he's going to bless him. Verse 44, truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, that master of the servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and on that hour he will not be aware, and will cut him in two and appoint his portion with the unbeliever. Now, he's saying, listen, if you say I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, but you're beating male and female servants, you're getting drunk and not living for Jesus, then you are not really a genuine Christian. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to be able to go into heaven because he doesn't know him. He says, even people who do miracles in my name, I'm going to say, away from me, I never knew you. And then there's tares and wheat. You are not a Christian just because you go to church. You are not a Christian just because you have Christian parents. You have to be born again. Each individual has to be translated and born again. And he says, I'm going to give them the part with the unbeliever. Now, before we get to verse 47, I missed a verse here. I want to go back and catch, okay? I'm sure some of you guys know I missed it. It's in verse 37. Blessed are those servants who the master, when he comes, may find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and sit down and eat when he comes. In verse 38, and if he should come in the second watch or in the third watch and find him so, blessed are those servants. So in other words, hey, we don't know. Could be the first watch or the second watch. The third watch was the last watch of the night before morning. So Jesus could, it's been 2,000 years. And there are scoffers today who say, you really believe in the rapture? Do you believe Jesus is coming back after 2,000 years? Yeah, to God, one day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years is like a day. Yes, I do believe that. There are scoffers that will arise. Well, the Bible says in the last days, scoffers are going to arise. So if you're a scoffer, you're fulfilling prophecy. Not the way you want to. Stop being a scoffer. Because Jesus is going to come back again, but it says scoffers will arise in the last days, and we have many scoffers today. So let's go back down to our text. I just wanted to cover that passage because I skipped over it. So then in verse 47, it says, and that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do the will be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, will be beaten with few. Let's take just a few minutes to think about what he's saying. He's talking about coming in judgment, and he's going to judge the world. And there are going to be some servants who know, but they're not doing it. And he says, that servant's going to be beaten with many stripes. We're talking about hell here. We're talking about giving a part with the unbelievers, which is what he says in verse 36. They will be given a part with the unbelievers, and because they knew, they will be beaten with many stripes. This means if you are in a position of light and you know, then follow the Lord. Don't walk away from him. But the interesting thing is what he says next. When he says, but, verse 48, but he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. People will ask me, what about those who never heard? What about that villager somewhere who's never heard the gospel? Well, a couple of things. Number one, Romans tells us that God has given them the evidence of creation. We know that there's a creator because we see creation. Number two, he's put inside of us all an internal evidence. This is every person ever born. So that person that's never heard the name of Jesus knows there's a God by creation and understands there's a God because it's inside of him. And I'm going to take it, if he acts positively to the light that he has, and we'll talk about this, I want to do a whole sermon just on those who never heard. We have Abraham, who never hears the name of Jesus, yet in Genesis, the very beginning of the Bible, he believes God and it's accounted to him righteousness. He's saved, accredited by the blood of Jesus on the cross. I'm not saying anyone is saved without the blood of Jesus. I'm simply saying, like children that are of a young age, the age of accountability, the person that's never heard could react positively to the light. How many will do that? Will there be any who do that? I don't know, but God knows. But if they are saved, they will be saved by Jesus. But also, and I want to do a teaching on hell. I got all these teachings I want to do because I do want to talk about, there are people trying to get rid of hell today, but there are a lot of people that teach hell wrong. They don't teach a biblical hell. They teach like the Middle Age hell. They teach the Greek Hades that oversees hell while people are being tormented. I'm not saying people aren't tormented. I'm not saying that hell isn't eternal. I'm saying not everybody's treated the same. Some will be beaten with few stripes. We have to rethink our thoughts on hell. Because I hear people say, well, no, your grandma died, and because she was ungodly, she's having her skin filleted for all of eternity. They're burning out her eyes for all of eternity. And I'm saying, God's going to treat your grandma different than he treats Hitler. God doesn't treat everybody the same. Not in heaven and not in hell. Not everybody will be treated the same, Johnny Cash said in a song called When the Man Comes Along. Everybody will be treated differently. And I don't have time to develop all of that now, but I will soon. And we'll look at this whole concept of what it means to be beaten with few, what it means to be beaten with many. Then he says, for everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to him whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. So if you've received light from God, then God expects us to live in the light that we've received, and God will hold us accountable for the light that we have. So we have to get ready and stay ready and be waiting when Jesus returns. The last thing we want is to have something embarrassing happening. The last thing we want is that we might have some sin that we haven't repented from that we've got going on in our lives, that when Jesus returns, we're involved in that sin. I don't believe in a partial rapture. I don't believe that some are going to be left behind and some are going to be taken later because they were in sin. If you're a genuine Christian and you're sinning when he comes, you're telling a lie, then you're like bad timing. If I could have told the lie 5 minutes earlier, I'd have been fine, but now I tell the lie, Jesus leaves me behind. No, you're his, you belong to him, you'll go in the rapture. It'll just be embarrassing when it happens. It'll be like, oh, Lord, I'm sorry, when you're suddenly standing in front of him. Instead, delight in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. When you're delighting in worldly things, then you're desiring worldly things. When you delight in the Lord, you desire godly things, and he can give you those things. When you abide in Christ and his word abides in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it will be given to you. That's the New Testament equivalent to delight yourself in the Lord. Then walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All of these are ways that we are ready. We walk in the Spirit and we have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control as the outcome of our lives. And we are living and people can see us as we prepare and wait for our Lord to return to us from heaven, for we will not go into that tribulation period. That is a time of God judging people who are on the earth. May we make sure we're ready. Some of you aren't ready. Some of you aren't genuine Christians. You think you are. You go to church. Yeah, I'm here on Sunday morning. What do you mean I'm not a Christian? The Bible says when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, on the day they ate it, they died. They didn't die physically when they ate it. They've died physically later, but they died spiritually the moment they ate it. And every person that's been born since then is born with a dormant or a dead spirit. And when you come to Christ, your spirit is brought to life. You are born again. So the Bible says, Jesus said, you must be born again. Those who are born of the flesh are flesh, and those who are born of the spirit are spirit. So this could be your day of glory. This could be the day that God set aside since before the foundations of the world that you said, I want you in my life. And if you're here and you're young, discover what God has for you. Jesus said, if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll save it. Save your life while you're young and live for God while you're young. Allow God to develop and do things with you. And if you say, well, I'm older, what is it? Good is it for me to give my life to the Lord? Well, our God is the God who restores the years the locusts have eaten, the Bible says. So God can do a lot in a very short amount of time, no matter how old you are. Give your life to Christ and allow him to use you as we wait for his son to return for us from heaven. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word and for the encouragement of Jesus to get ready, to stay ready, to be ready and be watching. Forgive us when we're not. Lord, I pray for those that are here that are struggling with some kind of a sin in their lives, some unrepented sin. They're sowing to the things of this world. They're delighting in the sensuality of this world. And I pray, Lord, that they would turn from those things and live for you, delighting in you and the things to come. Lord, we also pray that you would help us to be able to make the right decision. I pray for those that don't know you today, that you would give them boldness. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. If you're here today and you have never made a commitment to Christ, then I'd like to give you an opportunity to be able to do that. You've never said, Lord, I want you in my life. The Bible says in John 1, as many as receive him, he gives the power to become a child of God to those who believe in his name. This means even though you may have gone to church with your parents, even though your parents may be Christians, doesn't mean you are. You have to be born again. You have to surrender your life to him. You have to say, Lord, I want to invite you into my life and live for you. So if you're here today and you want to find him, you want to give your life, this is your day of glory, the day that God knew before the foundations of the world that you would say, I want you in my life and I want to live for you, then I'm going to ask you to do something simple right now, right where you are, just raise your hand. I want to take time to acknowledge your hands and I want to pray for you. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. That means that if God's speaking to you today, you don't know if he's going to speak to you in the future. So respond today. God bless you. Right down here in the front. That's awesome. Anyone else? God bless you up in the balcony. That's awesome. You're losing your life to Christ. The Bible says, fall on the rock and be broken, or the rock will fall on you and crush you. It's time to fall on the rock and be broken. All right, you can put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those that are watching online that gave their lives to Christ, or those who are listening on the radio that gave their lives to Christ, I'd like everyone to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. But I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I turn from my sin that I can live for you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. Or welcome back if you're returning to the Lord, if you made a commitment and you're coming back. Either way, we have a new believers table that's over along the wall. We have great people in our new believers team. They're awesome. You're going to love them. They want to give you a Bible, a new believers packet. They want to pray with you and talk with you. Make your way over there. Let us help you. We want to be able to come alongside of you and help you. Let us do that. If you're watching online, you can send us an email to saved@calvarytucson.com. Tell us your story. We have people who will respond to that email. If you would rather text, then you can text ready for Jesus to 94,000. You're going to get back a link. Click on that link. It's our new believers card. Fill that out and we will have someone who will respond to you promptly. We want to come alongside of you any way we can. Make sure that you have a solid walk with Christ. Now, I want to pray for you guys. And I like to pray about what we've been looking at in the study. So it's just so obvious, I want to pray for our readiness. For some of you that aren't ready today, you love Jesus, but you're just living for the things of the world. And if he were to return today, you would be embarrassed and you wouldn't be ready. I want to pray that you would get your robe, your belt girded, oil in your lamp and in your hand, and ready for his return so that God can use you to affect other people around you. So the Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. And I'm going to ask you men and women to, it's in the generic sense, it means men and women. Lift up your hands made holy by the blood of the Lamb, and I'm going to pray for you. Father, I want to pray for everyone who is here, those who are watching and listening. First of all, I pray for physical healings. Lord, for those that need a touch, touch and heal, we pray in the name of Jesus. We also think of people we know who are sick, and we pray for them. We pray that you would touch and heal them as well. We also pray for those around us who don't know you, that we would be able to live our lives in such a way that people would see you in us and be drawn to you. Lord, I also pray for everyone that here, as we raise our hands before you, that we would be ready. Forgive us of our sins. Help us when we are bound by strongholds or sinful behavior that we just can't seem to get control of. May we stop delighting in the things of this world and begin delighting in you. May we stop walking according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit, so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Empower us, draw us. We're asking you to help us to do that work because we are weak on our own and we need you. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. The benediction that I do is from the Old Testament, and it starts with the Lord. And the word Lord there is the tetragrammaton. The tetragrammaton is YHWH. It's the name of God. And they left out the consonants because they wouldn't write the name of God. It was so holy, they wouldn't write it. It was so holy, they wouldn't speak it. So we're not quite sure how it was pronounced. It was either Yahweh or Jehovah or something along those lines. We kind of lost it. But that's the same name that God gave to Moses in the burning bush when Moses said, "Who shall I say sent me?" And he says, tell them Yahweh has sent you. And in the Old Testament, they were told to speak God's name over the people. And this is how they did it. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May you find yourself ready, and may God convict you of things that need to change. God doesn't condemn. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, but he convicts us of areas we need to change that we can live our lives ready and pleasing to the one to whom we must give an account to.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you. And his word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit PCLAZ.org. That's PCLAZ.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
I wanted to have a stronger walk with Jesus. I wanted a better understanding of the Bible. And that's why I decided to enroll at Reach College of Ministry. The Bible study methods was only 8 weeks long, but it was life-changing. Both the instructor and course material met me right where I was at and gave me new tools to have a much better grasp of Scripture. Most importantly, my relationship with Jesus grew even stronger. I'm confident your experience will be life-changing. Attend in person or online from the comfort of your own home. Go to thereachcollege.org to start your journey. That's thereachcollege.org.